When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Simon Peter, along with a few others of the apostles, were fishermen, and not fishermen for fun, or for a hobby, or for anything else, but for their livelihood. And I know that many men especially have dreamed of a life circumstance where they could go fishing all day, every day. But what you're dreaming about when you have that dream is fishing for fun. Fishing when you and your family's well-being depends upon it, I don't know that anyone dreams about that. No one who fished for their livelihood came home at the end of a day having caught no fish, saying, we didn't catch anything, but it was fun. And that's the important thing. These disciples were fishing as if their lives depended on it, and they did. Now, God reveals himself to people in a number of different ways, but we should take note that here, Jesus is not approaching Peter and these fishermen in the place of their recreation, or their hobbies, or their side interest. And likewise, at times when God wants to get our attention, he does not wait until our interests drift toward him. Oftentimes, he meets us in the financial disaster. He meets us in the hospital when there's not yet a diagnosis or a prognosis. He meets us in the place of loss and confusion and consternation. And when he meets us, how he meets us is not always welcome, at least at the moment. St. Peter and the other fishermen were doing their level best at catching the very source of their livelihood when they heard the commanding voice of a carpenter. Now, much discussion has surrounded the translation of the word tekton. Jesus was a tekton, it says in Greek. In the earliest English translations of the late Middle Ages, the word carpenter was used. But for those who've ever been to the Middle East, and especially to Nazareth, you've no doubt noticed that there aren't many trees around, but there is an endless supply of rock. Tour guides in Nazareth will insist that Jesus was not a carpenter, a woodworker, but a stonemason, and also another fine translation of the word tekton, but it could also have been a metal worker for that matter. Having just visited St. Dunstan's, where construction mode there is timber framing, folks there have decided that the best translation of tekton is timber framer. So just depends on the reader, I suppose. But one thing is for sure, Jesus was not a fisherman. And when the tekton sits at one end of the boat after having performed his new role as teacher and proceeds to tell the fishermen to launch out into the deep to let down their nets for a draft, St. Peter, with his mind buried in the stressful and pressing concern of a failure to catch any fish, though trying all night long, is bold enough to register a complaint. Jesus, carpenter, teacher, and friend, we are the fishermen. And without explaining to you all of our techniques and strategies, which have been exhausted throughout the night, suffice it to say, this is not going to work. But to prove to you that carpenters should stick to carpentry, we fishermen are willing to give it a try to show you what a rookie mistake it is to launch out into the deep in the middle of the day. Peter does what Jesus says to do, and now we must consider very carefully what happened next. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And when they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink, Simon Peter saw it. When Simon Peter saw it, he should have said, finally, we're catching fish. This is great. This will cover us for a whole week. We have to start taking carpenters out fishing with us more often. Think of the money we can bank on this. If we bring Jesus with us fishing once a week, maybe Mondays, we'll bring him out on Mondays, and we use that money to hire out boats for the rest of the week, using his strategies, we could catch five times as much fish. And I'm no mathematician, but just imagine. And if there was no God, and no heaven, and no hell, and no purpose for life, and no destiny for humankind, then what he should have said was that. Let us just see how comfortable we can make ourselves and for how long. But St. Peter was granted a moment of clarity. And in that moment, the curtain was drawn back and he saw. Much like what was seen in the visions of the patriarchs and the great kings and the prophets of the Old Testament, perhaps most closely paralleling the experience of the prophet Isaiah, who saw a vision of God and the heavenly host, and immediately exclaimed, "I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I am from a people of unclean lips." St. Peter discerned immediately with a gasp, "I have been in a boat with the God of the universe. This miraculous haul of fish is not really about fish. God is using the fish to show me who he is. He is asking me to launch out into the deep and let down my net for a draft. He wants me to see who he is. And in seeing who he is, I see who I am. And to see what I've been concerned about is an embarrassment. This haul of fish is not about money. It's not about livelihood. This is not about our personal health or wealth. This is about recognizing in the midst of circumstances what in the world is going on." The scriptures say when Simon Peter saw it, he did not rejoice in the fish. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying pretty much just what the prophet Isaiah said, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." Isaiah saw a grand vision and knew immediately that he was unclean, and St. Peter simply caught more fish than usual, and taking professional fishing advice from a carpenter, a tecton, he had a revelation. In the midst of some very normal life experiences, God will reveal himself to common people. And though I dare say he's made himself known to many of you in dramatic ways, you need not wait around for a dramatic vision. You're in the middle of a vision right now. We sit in the center of a room that is called a nave. And it's called a nave from the same word as navy, because the church is the ship of salvation, shaped like an upside-down ark, some churches shaped more accurately than others. We are sailing towards a destination represented by our eastward orientation. We move towards the dawn of resurrected and eternal life in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God. And like St. Peter, we don't have to wait until the end of a long life of work before we have a revelation about this. Ours is the same as St. Peter's. We're sitting in a boat. Christ is sitting in the boat with us. Somehow we know this, but we don't know this. Because like St. Peter, we continue to say to him, "But Jesus, you really clearly don't understand our problems. I mean, these problems are significant. And in case you haven't noticed, I'm pretty stressed out about them. I'm trying to make myself as comfortable as possible for as long as possible. And Jesus, you're either not powerful enough, or you're not really on my side, or you're not good enough to care about making me comfortable, or perhaps this just isn't your field of expertise." May God grant us to understand what happened in that boat on the Sea of Galilee all those centuries ago. St. Peter, with his fishing problem now solved, gasped to realize that he had a problem, but it wasn't fish. Consider when Jesus solved the fishing problem, St. Peter immediately quit fishing. Peter saw that Jesus could solve any of his problems anytime he wanted to. And when he understood this, he left his concern about those problems and joined in with what Jesus was doing. He became a fisher of men. And likewise, your problems and my problems are not really about your problems and my problems. Christ is in your boat right now. Christ is in this boat right now. And I can wager that you have a problem that's something like fishing all night long and catching no fish. Replace fishing and catching nothing with whatever your problem is. And ask, if, as he did with St. Peter, he immediately solved that problem that's bothering you right now, would you understand what had happened? Would you say, thank goodness my problem is solved. Thank goodness we finally got fish. If I calculated how many fish we could get and then, start planning your life that way. Or would your thought be more like St. Peter's thought? St. Peter suddenly understood who was in the boat, looking at the problem with him. And when the problem was solved, realized that the problem was not the proper focus. At the same time, when he saw who was in the boat with him, St. Peter saw who he himself was, and his response was worship and repentance. He set aside his concern for comfort and security, concerns that were unarguably legitimate and perpetual, and began to see the world with Christ in it. He began to see the world as Christ sees it. He never had another day of fishing as successful as that one and didn't even want one. The need for fish continued, yes. The panicked concern for fish had ended. He had begun to see the world as we must see it, as fishers of men with Christ in the boat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.